Do you hear that, ladies and gentlemen? That is the sound of me opening a delicious Killcliff Double Awesome. And why, you may ask yourselves, am I starting out the podcast that way? Well, because tonight's guest is from Killcliff, and he's here to talk about something very, very cool, which is Killcliff's commitment and dedication to the Navy SEAL Foundation and how they have come up with a way to involve the archery and bow hunting community to do so. And tonight's guest, I guess I'll get right to it, is Baker Levitt from Killcliff. And as always, I'm joined by my host, Phil the Iceman Mendoza. How you doing tonight, Baker?
I am good. Sitting here in lovely Seattle. It's 4 o'clock, beautiful day, sunny, no clouds, no rain. It's nice.
Does that happen very often in Seattle?
Listen, I'm from Georgia originally, and I also lived in New York City. And Seattle gets a funky rap. Like, we have the most beautiful springs and summers and early falls in the country. Like, it doesn't rain much in the summer at all. And very little in the spring. And the only time it rains is good for me because it rains during duck season. And, you know, a lot of my friends back home, they're like, man, what do you do when it's raining all the time? I'm like, I get out in the field, man, and go blast some ducks. Like, it's wonderful. It's the best duck hunting I've ever done.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Always try to turn a negative into an asset. Like, life, my life lesson for the listeners. Whenever you're faced with, like, a negative situation, there's always a way to spin it into a positive, you know? Mm-hmm. And when I decided to move here to Seattle to be with my girlfriend, I remember I'd been coming up here for, like, a year, like, once or twice a month, and I'd always see just ducks everywhere. And I was like, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to duck hunt a lot when it rains. And so that's what I do, man.
That's pretty sweet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, can't be mad at that.
What got you to Seattle?
Girlfriend.
Oh, of course. I would have guessed that, but you know, I didn't want to come with the obvious answer.
Yeah, she wonderful girl. We've been together just over 4 years, and she doesn't hunt. Has never, you know, been hunting, but she's totally lets me do what I want. In fact, she encourages me to get out of the house and hunt more. I don't, so that way I don't drive her as crazy. But you know, it's funny. We launched the bow challenge, which we'll get into here in a few minutes. But you know, we were at we're up at the cabin in LeConnor, and I was like, I want you to shoot this bow. And she was like, I've never shot a bow. And I was like, you're gonna be great. And first three shots, put him in the 10 ring. Bullseye, 20 yards. It was impressive.
So there could be a chance.
No, she's going to go. Like, I told her I was making her go duck hunting with me at least once this year.
You know, I find that's the best way to get someone to do something. Just give them no options.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and then, like I said, she's going to have to turn that negative into a positive. So, you know, the problem with that, and this is a funny story. So,
the problem with turning negatives into positives?
No, the problem with hunting and getting her to go is
okay.
I made a huge mistake when we first started dating, and I made her watch the movie Deliverance.
That seems like a very bad mistake.
And she literally thinks that I grew up in Georgia. That's what life is like in Georgia. And she literally thinks that every time I go hunting, we are fighting off attacks and sodomy in the woods. Like, the goal is to not only harvest an animal, but the goal is also to fend off, you know, predators, male predators in the woods that are trying to sodomize you.
Yeah, and everybody knows that only happens in Texas.
Exactly, but that's what she thinks. She's like, yeah, so I was like, yeah, we were going to this goose hunt up river, you know, tomorrow. And she's like, she just started laughing. And I was like, what's so funny? She's like, you better be careful up there. And I was like, what? She's like, just like in that movie Deliverance.
You pass the guys with the banjos, turn the boat around quickly.
Yeah, exactly. I hear banjos, paddle faster, you know.
And I'm sorry, Texas. We all know that there, I'm sure. So with Killcliff, how did you get involved in that? A nice Southern Georgia boy like yourself.
So I was in school in New York, and Todd, who's the founder of Killcliff, is a former SEAL. We crossed paths in May of 2011. Killcliff was 4 months old, basically, and we just kind of hit it off, and I just went to work, started working for him, and wound up investing money in the company. And, I am a partner in the company and have equity in the company. And introduced it to the CrossFit world, and, you know, it took off. And, you know, then I basically transitioned, part-time I do business development, and then part-time I cover the Northwest region of the U.S.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. He's great. I mean, like, you know, he lets people do what they're good at. You know, he doesn't turn four square pegs into round holes, and just gives me a lot of freedom to kind of go out and make stuff happen and, you know, do my thing, which I greatly appreciate. And then, you know, when Todd started the company, the goal was to be the largest donor to the Navy SEAL Foundation.
That's a pretty bad goal.
Yeah, it's amazing. And if I'm not mistaken, this year we're committed to give $300,000 to the SEAL Foundation in cash, and we're the first official for-profit partner that the Navy SEAL Foundation's ever had. So
what's that mean? They've had partners before that are non-for-profits?
Correct. So they partnered with us, and just based on our mission statement and what our company goal is.
Kick ass and take names, not get raped in Georgia.
Exactly. Don't just be safe when you're out hunting.
Yeah, you hear banjo music, run for the hills.
Exactly. You know, but it's kind of what the company's all about, and what we, you know, how we run things, and, you know, percent of everything we do goes to the SEAL Foundation, and everything we do, we try and incorporate the message of the Navy SEAL Foundation into what we do. So.
And it's right on the can. The Navy SEAL Foundation stamp is right on the can. And so what does, for those out there who don't know, what does the Navy SEAL Foundation do?
So the Navy SEAL Foundation takes care of the families and children of fallen SEALs.
That is a hell of a good mission.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So you got guys out there sacrificing themselves for the country, and someone's got to help and take care of their families, you know, when they're gone. And that's what they do, and they do a phenomenal job of it. And if you look at other military charities, like, there's a lot of charities out there that are highly advertised, highly marketed, splashed all over the place. And if you really dig into things and you look at their books, you'll see these insane, you know, salaries for their officers and board members and whatnot, whereas that's not the case with the SEAL Foundation. The SEAL Foundation follows their mission statement. Everyone involved was either a former SEAL or the spouse of a SEAL. And they, you know, there's no smoke and mirrors or bells and whistles. I mean, it is has a very clear goal, and that goal is to take care of the families of fallen Navy SEALs.
I think I've actually heard of one of the, I guess, charities you're probably referring to that may have those high overhead costs.
Yeah. I'd rather not, like...
I'm not going to name names. I'm not naming names.
But, yeah, I mean, it's...
But it's too bad. It's too bad. But you guys went another path. You chose Navy SEALs, as you said, your founder. And I guess the saying is, you know, I think it goes with a lot of the military branches of, you know, once a Marine, always a Marine. Once a SEAL, always a SEAL sort of thing.
Right.
Always take care of those, you know, who have looked out for you and are still looking out for our country today.
Yeah, and then our president, Chris, was a SEAL as well for 14 years.
So and, surrounding yourself with badasses, in other words.
Yeah, and then we have another SEAL that works for us named Andy Stump. Andy and Chris were both members of Gold Squad, which is SEAL Team 6. And, you know, just awesome dudes. And you'll see some stuff coming out that we're doing for the SEAL Foundation and to raise awareness and funds here in the next week or two that'll knock your socks off.
Any hints? Any hints you can give us here?
I can't mention it, but I will tell you it is badass. and it's something to be proud of, and it's something to get behind, and it is, it's amazing. The goal is to raise $1 million.
Whoa.
And it's going to be awesome, man.
That's some fat stacks of cash.
Yeah, and it's all for a good cause, man. Like, you know, all of it goes to the foundation. Like, none of it's hidden. None of it goes anywhere funky or, like, there's no, like I said, there's no smoke and mirrors with this stuff. You know, I mean, it's awesome to be a part of. I'm a huge fan of it.
Is that going to be, like, product-related, maybe gear-related,
no.
challenge-related? Danny, come on.
No,
come on, little something.
It's an act of badassery that the world's never seen before.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. But let's talk about the bow challenge.
Let's talk about the bow challenge, because that to me is something near and dear to my heart, that a company like Killcliff has reached out to the bow hunting archery community and said, hey guys, we're willing to write the checks. All you got to do is cash them. And to cash them,
yep,
all you got to do is pick up your bows and do what, Baker?
So I was sitting in the parking lot of my accountant's office a couple weeks ago and pulled out my phone and just made a little video. Didn't tell anybody I was going to do it. Didn't get approval. Didn't run it by anybody. Just did it. And so if you do it on video, if you will shoot a balloon with your bow from 50 yards away, we will donate $25 to the Navy SEAL Foundation. If you shoot your bow and pop a balloon at 75 yards, we'll donate $35 to the SEAL Foundation. And then if you walk it out 100 yards and pop a balloon with your bow at 100 yards, we'll donate $50 to the Navy SEAL Foundation. And the reason I wanted to do that was, you know, I've never taken a shot with my bow at an animal over 38 yards, all right? But I can hit a target at 50, all right? And I've taken maybe 5 shots at a target from 50 yards and hit it every single time. And, you know, it kind of, it's one of those things that Todd, the founder of Killcliff, preaches is like, just because you've never done it or you have doubt, don't ever let that get in the way of you accomplishing your goals. So, you know, I think shooting a bow, in my opinion, is easier than shooting a rifle, you know, relatively speaking. And I went home, well, I made the video, posted it on Facebook. It's been seen 50,000 times now. But I went home and shot, didn't even take a warm-up, set up a target at 50 yards, popped the balloon first try. And then I was like, all right, let me walk this thing out to 75. Keep in mind, I have never taken a shot at a target with my bow over 50 yards. 75 yards, first shot, drilled it. And put that on YouTube. I mean, put that on Facebook. The post got shared, I don't know, 700-800 times. It's been seen 50,000 times. And, you know, I started getting submissions. I got some submissions from a dude in New Zealand. And then, you know, they just started pouring in. Like, so all these people started emailing me these videos. I have a video of a woman. So the first cool video that I got that really blew me away was a guy pulled out a recurve bow and drilled a balloon at 75 yards. And his reaction and the reaction to his friends was just out of this world. Like, they all went ballistic, you know, celebrating. And then 2 days later, this woman, who is probably 65 years old, pulls out a recurve bow and just torches a balloon at 100 yards.
That's impressive.
Yeah, and then, you know, the submissions just kept pouring in and in and in and in, and it's just awesome, you know? It's just cool. Like, when you allow people to show off a skill that they have and they can do it for a good cause, it's a win for everybody. You know, like, you know, if you see some random guy taking shots, you know, at a target from 100 yards, it's like, why would you do that? You know, why would anyone practice at 100 yards? Blah, blah, blah. Well, if it's for a good cause, why not? You know what I mean? And it just enabled people to kind of support a good cause and spread awareness for the SEAL Foundation and, you know, kind of show off their skills and try something that they normally would never try.
No, and that's it. That's, you know, like I said, you're giving people a platform to somewhat shine a spotlight on themselves in a humbling way because it's for a good cause.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty cool to see. So you talked about going out shooting your bow and popping the balloons at 50 and 75, and then as far as your hunting shots, Georgia, I'm assuming mostly whitetail.
Yeah.
Have you got to do any hunting in Washington yet?
I have. So last year...
Big game, sorry.
Last year, I went bear hunting in eastern Washington. I went mule deer hunting in eastern Washington. That was with a rifle. And then I went blacktail deer hunting in western Washington with a rifle also. So the way that the permitting and the hunting works in Washington is very unique. You have to apply for permits, and, you know, you can only use one weapon throughout the year, and you have to identify that weapon in the beginning of the season. And I actually got lucky this year and I got a multi-season tag, which allows me to hunt with my bow during bow season, a muzzleloader during muzzleloader season, and then I can use my rifle during rifle season. Or I can down hunt and use a bow during rifle season. So, you know, that's going to be cool and exciting. But, like, you know, if you can successfully hunt whitetails in the South with a bow, you can hunt and kill any species on the planet. It is the most skittish, neurotic, nervous animal in the world.
those deer down south are more, they're a little smaller size species of deer also, right?
But they get hunted from September through January.
And you guys get a kill like three or five bucks a year, don't you? You can get licensed for multiple deer down there.
You walk in, you buy a hunting license in Georgia, you can kill 10 does and 2 bucks.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so New York State, we have the same, very similar season, but we're not allowed to take nearly the amount of animals. Well, actually, you could get one for bow season, muzzleloader season, rifle season. You could probably get like 3-4 maybe.
So in Washington, you're only allowed to shoot one deer a year.
You might want to move.
And no. Duck hunt's too good here, man. You can shoot one deer, one buck per year, and it's got to be 3 points on each side, and three or better. And then you have to apply for a doe permit to be able to shoot a doe. And I applied for that this year and didn't get drawn. But
you know why?
What's that?
I said I like you. You know why?
Why?
You're the only man I've ever heard of. No, I'm staying in the state for the duck hunting.
Oh, yeah. Hell, yeah. And the girlfriend, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot about her.
But, you know, white-tailed deer in Georgia, they're so skittish. And, like, I've seen deer. This last year we were bow hunting in LaGrange, Georgia. And I had 4 deer walk in the field. And they were working their way down through the field towards where my stand was. And then about 200 yards away, 3 other deer walked into the field. And the first 4 deer saw those 3 whitetails and took off running, like just terrified of them. And whitetail deer in Georgia, like, they jump strings like you wouldn't believe. I mean, it's just, like, it's ridiculous. I mean, they're just, like, any sound they jump, they freeze, they move. I mean, they're just... They'll take a bite of food and spook and just, they're crazy.
You know, when you got one in there and they're doing the old go down to eat, like it's the fake eating, but they're really up to look at you. How many times have you got caught drawn back or reaching for something, you know, because you thought the deer was going to go down to eat and instead it pops its head back up and looks directly at you?
Every time except for once. and that was last year in Texas. I shot my biggest deer ever with my bow, nice 8-pointer, and I couldn't get him to look at me. Like, the wind was at my back, blowing into his face. He didn't care. Just did not care. Was eating alfalfa, didn't care. And that's the one time where, like, you know, I didn't have to worry about spooking the deer. He just didn't care. You know, like, he was interested.
That's the kind of animals I like to help hunt, man. Stupid, lazy.
Well, that's a mule deer.
What's that?
A western mule deer. you bump a Western mule deer, they'll run for 50 yards and turn around broadside and stare at you and look at you. Cause
well, that is true until you start getting into the real big bucks that are,
yeah.
you know, 180 plus. Those ones don't stick around to double check. They've learned, and maybe that one or two times that they ran 50 yards and stopped and turned and got a bullet or an arrow flying by them and
yeah.
learned from it. They don't do it twice. But
right.
you're right. Those younger mid-aged mule deer, yeah, there's a lot of stupid ones.
You know, they don't get to 180 by being stupid.
No, they don't. No. But so Baker, I've got some questions, man. I'm not as in tune to the CrossFit community. I don't want to stop talking about hunting. I love hunting, right? But
right.
there's a lot of good to talk about. I want to learn a little bit more about the company. Tell me about the name. Where did the name come from, Killcliff?
There was.
You know that?
It is the most anticlimactic story I could ever tell you.
Okay, so then it's we can squash it. Cool name.
Yeah,
but, I mean, if you
name,
want to get into it.
It's a great name. Todd had a roommate named Cliff, and
a guy named Cliff.
They would butt heads. Cliff was like 6'10", really skinny, and he was getting a master's degree at Georgia Tech in, like, financial derivative markets or something like that, and, like, just they used to butt heads all the time. And so Todd would just start writing Killcliff on his T-shirts. And then, like, you know, he had this concept for this company and what the product was going to be, and he was trying to decide on a name. And he was jogging one day, and he had on one of those shirts that said Killcliff on it, and he just decided that that's what he was going to name the company. Some guy was like, hey, Killcliff. He's like, yep, that's what I'm going to name it. And there you have it.
You know what? You may think that's anticlimactic, but to me, that's perfect because there actually was a guy named Cliff he wanted to kill.
Yeah. Well, everyone thinks it's like some SEAL thing. So, like, normally when people ask me that question, like, I'll make up some bullshit answer, you know, and, like, try to incorporate some type of, you know.
Cliff diving.
Yeah, like some type of secret SEAL thing. I'm like, oh, yeah, dude, it's a top secret mission. You know, can't talk about it. And most people – but that's what most people want to hear, you know. But it's just, you know, it's, I don't know. Todd's great. It's, you know, like, you know, if you had asked me – if I had known Todd when he was creating the company, you know, and trying to think of a name, I'd be like, Killcliff, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Like, what's wrong with you? Like, why would you even think that's – like what? Like you're ridiculous. That's a terrible name.
No, here's the thing: it's perfect because there's millions of other like there's Monster, Red Bull, like these intense, super intense names. Nobody's naming a drink after a roommate they hated and wanted to fucking kill.
I will tell you this: we signed a deal with a major, major, major retail chain here.
Walmart.
I'm not gonna admit or deny that. But one of the store managers in Florida, his name was Cliff, and he would not accept receipt of the product when they tried to deliver it.
That's funny.
Yeah. So, yeah, but it's been – the company's great. We got a phenomenal team, 38 employees, full-time employees. We just made the Inc. 5000 list, which is the top 5,000 privately held companies in the country. We were 103 overall, and then number 4 in the food and beverage category, and we were the number 1 privately held fastest growing beverage company in the United States.
Damn. Now, I'm not putting any pressure up on you, but I'd like to see you guys crack that top 100.
Oh, dude, that's going to happen this year.
Well, maybe a little help from this podcast. We can get you there.
Yeah, that's why I'm here, man. That's why I'm here.
Moved up 4 spots automatically.
One podcast, 4 spots jumped, man. That's what I'm talking about. So,
that'll be our whole pitch whenever we want to get a tough guest on. We'll be like, you know, Cliff was 103 on the top 100, whatever, 2000 company list until they came on the podcast. Now they're 98.
Yeah. Hey, and that's real money, buddy. You can take that to the bank.
Right.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I mean, like, growing up in Georgia, you know, in a family, no hunters. No one in my family hunted. You know, my father passed away when I was 5 in 1980. And, like, my family had a couple farms, and I just taught myself to hunt, you know. And it's interesting, like, you have to have two things for something to grow and thrive. So you have to have a culture, and you have to have a community, all right? And if you look at, I'm very heavily involved in CrossFit and the CrossFit community, and Killcliff's very much involved in that community. And CrossFit has a massive community, and they're developing a culture at light speed. And then, like, you can look at, like, surfing, which has, you know, the surfing culture and the surfing community, you know. And running is, you know, my favorite thing out there. I mean, I love everything about it. And hunting has a massive community and a very extensive culture, documented history. But the bow hunting community within the hunting community is something that's really impressive to me, especially after launching this bow challenge. And it just kind of showed me, like, how powerful it is. And you have, it's harder to do. It's much more intimate than hunting with a gun. And, you know, it's just, everything about it is phenomenal. It's, you know, it's, there's no huge recoil. There's no loud bang. You know, there's not this massive impact and explosion on the animal. And it's just, it's, you're just much more in tune with nature, and you're much more tied into what you're doing, you know, because you have to be close. Like, shooting an animal, you know, at 300 yards with a rifle, I mean, like, what, you know what I mean? Like, there's, you're not interacting with the species, you know, you're not a part of it, in my opinion.
One comparison I kind of make it to is, like, if there's a CrossFitter, right, and I get questions like this because of, you know, I compete and train to hunt events, and I do the podcast, and with the whole CrossFit movement of, you know, the locavore and paleo and being, you know, responsible and knowing where your food comes from, I start seeing more and more CrossFitters getting interested in hunting and bow hunting in particular because of those things you just mentioned. And when they ask me what it's like, I tell them, you know, it's kind of like the difference between Olympic weightlifting and, like, the bench press. You know, like a snatch versus a bench press.
Right.
Bow hunting would be the snatch. You really got to be in tune with your body, your timing, your form. You're really trying to repeat that same thing over and over again to find success. Whereas bench press, you go down, you come up.
That's a textbook example because I do powerlifting. And I, like, that's a great example. Bench pressing, you can just pin your ears back and just grind your ass through it. Whereas with a snatch, like, you can't just grind a snatch through. Like, if you're going for a heavy snatch, it's all skill, you know?
That's all relative speaking, though. You can grind, well, never mind. Go ahead. Sorry.
So you're attracting that comment?
You want three white lights. It's got to be heavily skilled. They're not going to give you a pass for pressing it out and stuff like that, you know, on a snatch. Like, you got to have it locked out and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's a great community. It's fun. Like, you know, and my hunting trips with my friends, you know, like, that's my favorite thing to do is plan hunting trips. And, you know, especially with buddies that live in different parts of the country, and, you know, you picking them up at the airport, and it's like a reunion. And it's just like, for me, it's the process that I love. It's not so much, you know, harvesting an animal. That's the bonus. That's the cherry on top. But, you know, just being able to be with your friends out in Mother Nature and doing things that people, you know, that live on the internet and live in their basement and complain about, you know, the anti-hunters and all that stuff, raising hell, they don't have any experience, you know, and it's just easy to knock it. But it's just like, listen, the ability to go and harvest your own food and clean it, get it processed, take it home and eat it, there's nothing better, nothing tastes as good. It's knowing where your food came from. Nothing.
No, that couldn't be more true. There's no better meals. You know, I don't care. You take me to a 5-star restaurant, I won't appreciate it, because there's no better meal I've ever eaten than one, you know, I've harvested myself.
Yeah, because there's a story around it.
Exactly. You know? There's the atmosphere and the community.
Yep. And or especially if it's something that you have to drag out of the woods. You know, I shot a hog in Georgia at our farm. I was with my 8-year-old cousin. He was 8 years old at the time. It was a 275-pound hog, and I shot it, and it ran about 100 yards in the woods, and I grabbed a hold of it and went to just give it that initial tug to see if it was going to move. Didn't happen. So every bite of that hog, I had to relive dragging that damn thing out of the woods with an 8-year-old who was of no help.
Yeah.
And then
should have got CrossFit kids.
I know. Have you ever tried to lift something 225 pounds of dead weight into the back of a truck by yourself?
It is not just dead weight though. Like, if it's not like deadlifting or even cleaning 275 pounds, because that's on a bar, a nice stiff, evenly loaded bar.
Right.
Getting an animal up is way different.
Oh yeah, especially because I had to find a divot in the field to where I could lower the tailgate of the truck and then back the truck into the divot to get the tailgate lower to the ground. And I finally found a spot that was 100 yards further, and I was like, oh, here we go again. It was like, Justin, grab a leg, let's pull. And he's like, I'm tired. And I was like, oh, I got it. So I'll never forget that.
You know, you really couldn't have picked two better communities that get hated on as much on the internet with CrossFit and hunting.
Yeah, I don't get it. Like, I don't understand how people can bash CrossFit. Like, I see, like, if you can't make fun of yourself and laugh at yourself, like, you got bigger problems. But, CrossFit does nothing but good. You know what I mean? Like, if you look at USAW, 5-6 years ago, USAW had 3,500 members.
That's the national sanctioning body of weightlifting, for those who don't know.
And now, because of CrossFit, it has over 18,000 members.
I'm a member.
Yeah, as am I. And they, they're, the American Open and Nationals, I mean, the submissions for people to compete in those was so overwhelming, like, they had to change everything about it because they couldn't handle the number of people wanting to compete. And then you have, your bodybuilder gym rats, and all they want to do is just lift as much weight as possible or never do legs and only do curls and cruck rows and bench press, and walk around with board shorts 2 inches above their private area, and take pictures of themselves. It's like, that's fine, and that looks, you look great and all, and I can see you do a lot of muscle, you have a lot of muscle mass, but, like, what good is that for you? Like, what can you do with it? Like, what do you squat? You bench press 315 for reps, congratulations. But I squat well over 500 pounds. Like, I'm more impressed with that than, a guy that sits around and does curls and then goes on the internet and makes fun of someone, doing kipping pull-ups. Like, what good are those? It's like, oh, shut up.
Here's the thing, and we get this with Train to Hunt. We see guys who are like, might have been into that bodybuilding scene or the traditional gym scene, and they've come into Train to Hunt, which is really, has a lot of CrossFit background to it, and they're like, man, I couldn't get to the tree stand without breathing heavy. Now I'm in some of the best shape of my life.
Yeah, so that's like John Welborn. John Welborn, he's the subject matter expert for CrossFit football, power athlete.
All right.
And, NFL, he played in the NFL for 10 years. He's all pro lineman. And, like, NFL fields are crowned. They're convex. So, I mean, John would tell you, he's like, man, back when I was playing, he's like, I'd get out of breath running out to the middle of the field, And it's just a slight little incline. And then you've got, it's people are getting fitter. They're getting healthier, and making real positive change in the world. And, like, if someone just wants to go to the traditional Globo gym and just pump iron, I'd rather they do that than sit at home, on the couch. I don't knock. And, like, or Zumba. Like, if you just want to, if your idea of fitness is going and dancing for an hour, hey, man, hats off to you. Congratulations. You're doing something. But, like, don't criticize what other people are doing, especially if they're doing good. That's just kind of my thing. And then, like, with the anti-hunters, it's just like, get a clue.
I feel like hunting needs almost someone like Greg Glassman.
Oh, absolutely. That's
what hunting doesn't have, is a Greg Glassman, kind of this guy who's like, I'll take everyone on. And I'll do everything I have to keep this what it is.
Like Greg Glassman, similar in his knowledge base and his delivery. And that's Stephen Rinella. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Stephen Rinella. He has
media. Oh, yeah, I've read the books.
Yeah, so he's one of those guys, like, I've seen him disarm anti-hunters in a very calm, non-insulting, professional manner, and it's just really impressive, But the problem is, with the anti-hunters, is they're ideologists. Like, there's nothing – so we could explain to them – how hunters are the ultimate conservationists, and we can show them how animal population.
Do we lose Baker?
Yeah, I don't got him.
Phil, you don't have him either?
Sorry.
No.
We got him.
So, like, if you can show them that, you know, hunting conservation and land preservation and, you know, animal populations are on the rise, and that's fine. Or you can show them that hunting licenses pay for, you know, wildlife. The license fees go towards conservation. Billions of dollars, you know, go into protecting animals and managing animals and all that stuff. And then you can show them all the money that's made in the hunting industry and the jobs that are created, you know, like Bass Pro Shops and, you know, Cabela's and companies like that. They wouldn't exist without hunting.
Yeah.
You can tell them how your experiences and sharing with your friends and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, the one thing we'll never be able to get and explain to anti-hunters is the fact that we do go out and we do kill animals.
Yeah.
And that's what they don't understand. And I would, you can't explain that to someone, in my opinion.
You know, if
like,
it wasn't the Pittman-Robertson Act, we wouldn't have the animals we do. And we have that because of hunters.
But they don't understand that. They just look at guys like us and we go, oh, you psychopaths, you go out and you kill animals. Well, you kill Bambi. But when it all started was in 1969, Walt Disney created the movie Bambi.
Yeah, and I don't think he probably didn't mean to do what he did, you know, in hindsight.
No, I don't
probably
think he did.
It was a much different culture of hunting than too. Not saying it was a bad culture. It was probably even a more close-knit and enriched, very much enriched culture at that time, and probably, you know, what we're thinking about that political correctness.
Sure.
You would have, you know, how many years later now that continues today.
Right. But yeah, it's called charismatic megafauna, and what it is, you know, you look at the animals that you see in the cartoons, and you look at the animals that you see on calendars when you're growing up in your childhood, you know, and those are the animals that people get really upset about, you know, hunting. Like, no one's upset that I shot a couple turkeys this spring. They don't care about turkeys. And they don't care about ducks that I shoot. But, you know, let someone, you know, post a picture of a mammal on that you shot on social media, and you're liable to get people flipping out on you, you know?
And you also get the anthropomorphism out there, you know, where people are slapping on human traits to animals, you know, like Cecil the lion, you know, they gave him a name and then said, you know, Cecil with this, Cecil with that. And it's like, nah, Cecil would be looking for more shit to kill and eat. It's like, Cecil wouldn't give a fuck what you're doing on social media. You know,
yeah.
Joe Rogan and a couple guys on the podcast talked about that, and I've seen it all over Facebook, and the facts are the facts, you know. Hunters have a much closer relation with animals and their behavior and what's actually going on out there than, you know, a lot of these people who are making a big fuss about it.
Oh, yeah, they're clueless, completely clueless. And, you know, they think that, you know, you shouldn't hunt animals, you should get your stuff from the grocery store. Well, let me tell you this. Go look at the life cycle and the lifespan of an animal, you know, that's raised for slaughter by a large meat producing company. You know, let me tell you, I'll take my wild game any day of the week over that stuff.
And it's delicious.
Absolutely. It's phenomenal.
There's no question it's just a cleaner way of living and eating. And, you know, that, like you said, those people that the unintelligent people that you can't connect with. You know, they'll argue with you till you're blue in the face, and they'll drive away with their leather seats and their leather shoes on.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, and their leather belts. And, you know,
and that's it.
Yes.
Phil recently went on a ram hunt, and I can tell you from checking with him and hearing the stories and, you know, talking about it, that he went to a place, the Maroon Bells in Colorado, where there's like a, what, 5% chance of success in archery, Phil?
It's less than 10. It's yeah, I mean, they give 9 archery tags in that unit, and it's like, I don't know, 3 out of 4 years one guy will tag out. So out of, what, 36 tags, usually 3 get filled out of like a 4-year time frame. So it's 8 or 9%.
And I can tell you that's a much more enriching and honorable way to get your food than just, you know, going to the supermarket and then complain about hunters and what they're doing.
Oh, yeah.
The connection. There's that connection, that backstory, you know, the atmosphere. You said it before, the atmosphere and the community. You know, what atmosphere and community are you building at the grocery store? You're just going and partaking in the fake atmosphere they've built in a fake sense of community they're trying to sell.
Yeah, and you're letting someone else do your killing for you. You know, because at the end of the day, the animals, the food that you buy at the grocery store, like, those animals don't die of natural causes. Like, they're pumped full of hormones. They
spent too much time in Georgia rafting down a river on a hunt.
Literally trying to save their lives. You know, they have a very, very crappy lives. You know, they live in pens and they're raised, you know, quickly, and it's a numbers game, you know?
And they get pumped up with shit.
Oh, yeah.
And that's like honestly, I don't want to get lost too much down that rabbit hole because, you know, you could talk about the shittiness of it forever and the greatness of hunting. And that's how we're going to look at it because we're emotionally attached to the issue, just like the people on the other side are emotionally attached to the issue, you know. And sometimes you just got to say, you know, agree to disagree.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah, because, well, I mean, any of us know that have eaten wild game meat, you know, you eat that for any period of time, and then you go back to have to eat some beef, you know, whatever the situation is, and you can taste the difference. I mean, it's night and day different, and it's you just can't wait to get back to your fresh venison or you know, whatever you have that you've taken yourself. But yeah, no, I mean, like Will said, that's a storyline there that's you know. It is what it is. We just got to try to fight the smart fight and be educated as to, you know, what we are doing and how we are taking care of the outdoors and keep preserving that and keep growing it. You know, education and awareness is where it's at.
And recruitment.
And what?
That's it.
Recruitment.
And that ties right back into the opportunity Killcliff is providing hunters, bow hunters, archers to step up and show the positive side of this community on a much larger platform than they normally could.
Yeah, so for all your listeners out there, we're going to extend the bow challenge by a week.
So today's the 26th. If we publish this podcast as soon as we record it, that would be till, should we say, how about like a week and a half, like Saturday,
Sunday
the 6th.
Yeah, that's good. Next Sunday.
Till Sunday. You have till Sunday to the 6th to submit your, videos. And then what do you think, Baker? Tag, I guess if you're on Instagram or Twitter, you would tag or at mention Natural Killcliff Podcast and Killcliff.
Yep.
And do the same, I guess, on Facebook. You know, if you're doing video, keep in mind for Instagram, you got 15 seconds to make it happen.
Yeah, so what I would suggest is doing it on Facebook or Twitter because you have a longer window. But, yeah, just video it to the best of your abilities and then upload it to Facebook and tag, you know, Killcliff and the podcast.
Now I got a little bit of a special request here. With this challenge, right, we got a buddy. We had on a couple nights ago for a podcast, Ryan Avery. He's the head of the forum, Rock Slide. You may or may not have heard of it. It's probably the most. Have you heard of it?
I listened to the podcast the other day.
Oh, he did?
I listened to it today.
All right. So he's a long-range rifle shooter. What if, say, we extend it? And he's a trad bow guy. What if, say, just to shake it up a little bit, we offer to maybe challenge him, if he so accepts it, to shoot maybe a Killcliff can at, 1,000-plus yards?
If he can drill a Killcliff can, if anybody can shoot a Killcliff can at 1,000 yards and video it,
Both ends. You gotta, because that's the thing, too. Don't get no shitty angles where we can't see nothing. You know,
yeah, we want
so
to
I shot
see.
It. You know,
yeah,
and it's just a lead to. Right? We want to see the can and the shooter. So you're going to have to do run two cameras, two phones. I mean, I wouldn't recommend somebody stands at the other end holding the phone.
No, don't do that. That'd go terribly wrong. Right. No. We
out there or something.
People, you know, if you don't have 1,000 yards,
please shoot.
We will disqualify the video if you're taking a 1,000-yard shot over, through, or around a residential neighborhood like this. Take place out in the wilderness, preferably on a range. But if you can drop a, if you can nail a Killcliff can and get it on video, both ends, at 1,000 yards, we'll donate $250 to the Seal Foundation.
What? $250?
Yeah. Yeah.
Shit. Holy shit. $200. Man. I'm actually, holy shit, $200. You guys, your company, you're telling me you will give to the Navy SEAL Foundation $250 for each shooter that successfully shoots a Killcliff can safely out, not inside a residential neighborhood at 1,000 plus yards.
Yeah, 1,000 yards.
And get both ends on video.
Yeah, and because the only people I know that can do that are buddies of mine. Like, I, hopefully there's some other people out there that can do this.
You got to be legit as shit to be pulling that off.
Yeah, and you, listen, if you if it takes you 100 shots to do that, that's fine. I just need to see one shot. That's all I want to see is one shot. I mean, if you sit out there for 3 days and it takes you to do it, that's fine. I know one guy that can do it, Dean Brantley, who owns Two Vet Arms. They make assault rifles out of Oklahoma. I know that Dean's got that shot, and I'm calling Dean Brantley out right now.
All right, all right. You're calling Dean Brantley out. I'm calling out Ryan Avery. You know anyone, Phil? What,
no.
What about Jake? You know, what about what about one of those boys over at Cryptech?
You know what? We got to throw it out to everybody, right? I mean, if it's a challenge, man, step up, right? Step up for a good cause. Let's see it. I know that that is legit. I mean, 1,000 yards at a can. That can be wider than 2 inches.
No, I got one
what,
right
6
here.
6 inches tall.
One of these so, just,
hold on.
And,
hold on.
Please,
I'm
going to
call out. So, hold on. I'm going to call out Dean Brantley with Two Vet Arms.
Okay.
I'm going to call out Luke Pilgrin from RE Factor Tactical.
All right.
I'm going to call out Andy Stump from Killcliff. Andy was a sniper in Gold Squad, which is SEAL Team 6. I know for a fact he's got it. I'm going to call out Dan Cirillo, Taco, who's a former SEAL. Dan, get your ass to a range and show us what you're made of. And then I'm going to call out Brian Black from ITS Tactical.
All right. I like it. Where this is going. I like where this is going. I actually got a little list here. And here's, you know, if we're up in this, right? We're up in this. We're saying $250 for each one of these badasses to shoot 1,000 plus yards at a can. What if
two cameras? Hold on.
Two cameras. Yeah.
We'll
go over the rundown. We'll go over the official qualifying rundown at the end of the show. But Say we have some badass archers. Like, I got my man right here, Phil the Iceman Mendoza. He's the was the 2014 Train to Hunt champion, ASA pro level archer. What if say he's willing to shoot a Killcliff can at over 100 yards?
$100.
Over what we got to say yardage though, Phil.
No,
what are we looking? What's the difficulty level here?
So there. Jason Hansen, who runs the Twitter account Outdoor CEO, he drilled a balloon at 200 yards with his Matthews.
All right.
So if someone could hit a Killcliff can, two cameras at 200 yards, I'd up it to $100.
I like where this is going. You got 200 yards to shoot, Phil?
Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah. You got 200 easy. I don't know. I'm not saying hitting the cans easy. I got 200 yards to shoot all day. I might empty a quiver, but, yeah, that'd be that's a. So we apologize there. A little technical difficulty with the connection, and we actually which is Will and I back now. Baker had to scoot, so some name calling as far as some challenges going out there on the rifle side, on the bow side. Will, what are we going to say? Is it 150 or 200? What do you think
for the bow side?
Yeah, that's a long way, man.
Man, that is a long way. I think you know what? I think if you post a video of yourselves out at 150, he's probably going to still put a bunch of money out there. And if you go 200, he said, what, $100?
$100. Yeah, and you know, let's leave it at this, right? I mean, depending on what you have distance to shoot, some people might not be able to shoot 200 yards very easy. 150 plus, you know, just call it that.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to challenge yourself a little bit more, you know, I know that I might end up firing 2 or 3 or 16 arrows, but I'm going to shoot a can.
I think that you're going for the can. You're going for it. I like it. I like it. But what I'm going to do is I'll fire, you know, a dozen, 16, whatever I have to do it. But I'm only going to do it in one cut, though, at a time. Make like
yeah.
It was one shot, first shot.
Yeah, man, that sounds cool. So who are we going to call out there, Will, on the bow side?
Just to, let's lay the terms out there. You heard them. If you're a long-range rifle shooter and you want to partake, and I'm calling out Ryan Avery right out the bat on that, we want – you know, and we also encourage you to call out other people as part of this challenge and tag Killcliff, Natural Born Hunter, you know, be part of the tribe that's getting this whole thing extended, you know, show them what we're made of, what we can do, and, you know, make it happen. But, you know, 1,000-plus yards at a Killcliff clan. Yeah, at a Killcliff can, you got to have it videoed on the shooter, and you got to have a video on the can itself. You know, in a safe shooting environment, I can't stress that enough. Be safe about this. You know, I don't want to see the news, you know, some guy got their head blown off while trying to shoot at a Killcliff can. That's not the kind of press we want on this thing. You know, we're trying to help Killcliff raise money, you know, or I guess donate their money to the Navy SEAL Foundation. So that's what we got on that. I don't know. Who do you know that shoots long range? You know anyone, Phil?
Well, I know a lot of guys. I know a few people have already did.
Didn't Jason,
a gun,
didn't Jason Montague or whatever from, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, from Cryptek just build some kind of badass gun? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure, man. I tell you what, I'm so ingrained in the archery world that I've kind of, my rifles are dusty in the rifle safes or in the safes.
All right, well, I'm calling out any rifle shooters from Cryptek.
There you go.
Because I know there are a bunch of badasses over there. For the archery side, what's the deal on the archery side? I can't forget the shorter distance he mentioned, but you know, try to go for the long one, boys. Raise the big money.
Yeah, 50 yards, 75, hundo. But like we're throwing it out there, 150 plus if you have the ability to shoot safely. So I'm gonna call out anyone trained to hunt community that. That's out there.
Hasn't
I mean,
done,
you know,
you're calling out like Lance Banning.
I'm calling out everybody and
who haven't done this yet. Get your asses out there. Raise some money for the Navy SEAL Foundation.
That's it. And then I want to see somebody like Tim Gillingham, a gold tip.
The hammer.
The hammer. I want to call out the hammer on a 200 yard shot.
I want to call the hammer on a 200 yard plus shot.
I know Tim's got it in
Levi.
Him.
That's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see Levi Morgan and Tim, you know, go at this thing.
There you go. A good friend of mine I've had on the Championship Bowhunting Podcast, Chad Chenault. Chad actually finished third at the ASA Worlds here last weekend, third place.
Damn.
Good job, Chad. I'm going to call you out on a 150-plus yard shot on this. So,
who's you?
Chad Chenault.
All right, Chad.
Chad Chenault. Yes, sir. Chad, once again, congrats, Chad, on an awesome finish there at the ASA. But other than that... Aaron Snyder, you know, if he's
Aaron,
got time before he heads deep in the bush. And like I said, we already called out the Train to Hunt community.
I got two.
Go ahead, Will. Fire away.
Call out Andrew Munsell and Sean Greathouse.
Oh, yeah.
From Hamskay. I want to call out Casey and Jordan Harbertson from Mountain Ops. And I'm looking for big distances out of you boys. I saw those new Hoyt bows you got. I want to see them do some work. Also,
there you go.
I got Chuck Cooley. Previous show guests, Zach and Travis Boughton of Montana Wild. I know those boys are very capable of those long-distance shots. And previous guest, AJ Jarosa, who I know is in Africa. But if you make it back in time or you brought your bow to Africa with you, let's see it. Let's see it. And I know he's part of that Train to Hunt crew now, kind of. But Ben Greenfield as well. Let's see what you got, Ben. Let's see
there
what
you
got. I'm trying to think. You know, I'm sure there's some people we're forgetting, but... You know, if you're listening to the podcast, we're calling you out too. If you hear this podcast, you have a bow or you're a long-range rifle shooter, you're being called out right now by us.
And Will, how about we throw a little extra to the Natural Born Hunter listeners out there? Why don't we say, hey, you know what, longest confirmed shot with the bow, why don't we throw him a T-shirt, man?
We will throw you a T-shirt, and we will throw you some Mountain Ops Yeti.
Hey, and then and make sure you post it to, you know, also share it to the Natural Born Hunter page, not just Kill Cliff, but we're trying to co-promote this guy, so, and gals. Because there's definitely some ladies. Shelly Wampler, I think I see, I want to say Justin do the challenge. So Shelly's definitely capable of some long range shooting. Yes. That's all I got, man.
Guys, bring it. Bring it, community. Bring the noise.
But you mentioned something there, Will, on the Mountain Ops side. In case somebody wants to pick up some Mountain Ops,
mm-hmm.
What do you suggest?
I would suggest that you don't pay full price for your Mountain Ops supplements. They are fantastic supplements, and while they deserve to be paid for full price, that is not what a wise man would do. A wise man would instead use the promo code NBH20 and get 20% off your Mountain Ops supplements.
And what else can they get? Those fancy hats you wear?
You can get this fancy flat brim hat, become part of the Flat Brim Nation. Like I am part of. I saw First Light posted a picture on Instagram today of a nice young lady wearing a flat brim hat that I made sure I tagged Rock Slide and Aaron Snyder both in so they know what's coming, the future.
Hey, I want to say something real quick since we're talking about apparel. I mean, Mountain Ops has some kick-ass gear in addition to the supplements. But I was on the Kill Cliff website, man. They got some. I'm kind of more of a shirt guy myself.
Right.
I like hats.
Right.
But, man, I got to get me some of them shirts.
What shirt are we looking at? I just figured
they got a shirt.
Right?
What's that?
You're on the men's, right?
Oh, yeah. They got a shirt that says Kill Cliff. It says Test Positive for American. Hey, man, can't be, you know.
No.
It's like a brown-looking shirt. Kill is in blue, Cliff's in red. The dude looks kind of like an Under Armour model, kind of, I mean, doubles as myself maybe, but... I'm all about that shirt. So, apologize on that. We're gonna had a little technical
I like the
difficulties again.
I like the adult fitness entertainer shirt. That's cool.
Yeah. No. So, talking about apparel on the Kill Cliff side, there's one with the little dinosaur on there with the crosshairs on it. I dig that shirt too.
There's a lot of good stuff. You know what? Mountain Ops, great shirts. Kill Cliff, great shirts. Two great companies, but only one has given us a great promo to offer you, and that is Mountain Ops with the NBH20, 20% off all the supplements you need from those guys. Great guys. Support the movement. As well as Casey and Jordan, I need to see your asses making these shots so Kill Cliff can donate the money. Make it happen. You know, step up, boys.
That's it, Noah. And you hit it on the head, Will. Big ups to Mountain Ops. I've been checking out a little bit more, reading up a little bit more on the products, the stuff that I haven't tried out. And I think the Magnum's the next one that I'm going to pick up, Will, on the protein.
That's great. Are you driving and podcasting right now?
Man, I'm a multitasker.
You're driving and podcasting. This could not be safe.
I'm good.
All right.
As long as the cop don't see me. But
gotta get him on the podcast.
I'll have to interview him real quick. So, once again, thanks to Baker. We appreciate what you guys are doing out there. Everybody get out there, grab your bows. It's about hunting season anyway, so if you're not dialed in for long range, you should be by now. Not that I'm not saying I encourage long range shooting on animals, but you should have been practicing at long range by now. So, let's get out there, support the SEAL Foundation. Right, Will?
Definitely.
Through Kill Cliff. And you know, that's all I got, man. So I'm gonna go see where I'm gonna find 200 yards to shoot at a can.
That's a great idea. Grab all them boys, all the right.
Yeah.
Get them out there, make it happen. As always, this has been the Natural Born Hunter podcast. Thank you again to Kill Cliff. Thank you to Mountain Ops for your continued support. You know what? Do what you got to do to make it happen. Wake up, chase dreams, repeat. Good night, ladies and gentlemen.